Where he pressed me to go this morning was to one particular verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. So we're going to be touching 1 Corinthians chapter 4. And of course, St. Paul here is talking about himself, and he's giving us a wake-up of the accuser. He's trying to get us to see who the accuser is and what he's trying to do to us, and not to let ourselves be affected by it. And since, you know, you pointed out that you had the accuser on your case already, you know, if we don't recognize him as a negative force, or the beast in us, or the selfishness in us, or anything to shut down the obedience from God, anything that you and I do to obey the Holy Spirit, he's going to be on your case. And when I say he, that could be your flesh. You know? Your soul, your mind, your will, your emotions, they all have an attitude. And they're selfish. Mm-hmm. Amen? It says the mind of man is against God. It's against the Holy Ghost. So, as soon as you obey the Holy Spirit, you've got definitely somebody on your trail trying to stop you from obedience. And sometimes I've seen myself yelling, literally, yelling, this is not going to continue. I will obey the Lord, and I purpose to do it, and I'm not going to be stopped by any thought patterns pushing me around. And sometimes you need to do that because, you know, the darkness wants to overwhelm you and to stop you from your progress, basically. So verse 1 says, so then, men ought to regard us as servants of Christ, and as those entrusted with the secret things of God. Now, I want you to just look at this particular verse and see if you really understand that you have the secret things of God that are in you. See, a lot of times, the other guy has it. You know what I mean? The other person has it. I can remember sitting in Gino's office, and he'd come out with a word of knowledge, and I'd go out of there, and I'd say, oh, God, I wish I had that. You know? Well, I've got the same spirit within me, but I don't have the particular workings of that aspect of it within me. But I do have the secret things of God in me that are pertaining to me. This morning, again, Jeremiah 29:11 on that song, pointing out, I know the plans I have for you. Well, if you get to know the one who has your plan, wouldn't that be wise to kind of snuggle up to him? You know, I mean, common sense. If you snuggle up to the one that has the plan for you, and you'll definitely get him to whisper it in your ear at some point, and he'll find a way to get through to you. Like my brother Bob with the dream. Verse 2. It is required that those who have been given a trust must prove faithful. Well, proving faithful is a process. It's not a one-shot deal. How do I say this? It's going to be areas that you're going to fail in that are going to be the most miserable for you. When you see your own failure, you've got to kind of pick yourself back up by choice, because it's not going to be an emotional thing, because if you go into an emotional thing, you're going to be in trouble. You're going to start feeling sorry for yourself, and self-pity and depression will step in. So it's up to you to open the door and say, wait a minute, God's Word says He has a plan for me. Now, I'm going to pay attention to make sure that that plan gets to be done. And I'm going to be available to Him to let it happen. So, the proving of myself faithful is really something that is ongoing. It is not something that happens once in a shot, and then you've got it all figured out. Because for me, it hasn't been. It's been ongoing. And it's been in different areas. So, once the test is completed, and you have been proven faithful, then he's going to go into a new area to awaken you to something, you know, that he needs to deal with, and that you may need to deal with that you have no clue about. Usually it's something I have no awareness of that he's beginning to wake me up on. Okay? Verse 3. I care very little if I am judged by you or by any human court. Indeed, I do not even judge myself. I mean, can you hear what that is saying? I mean, how much self-condemnation would that cut away if you would just stop trying to obey everybody's opinion? How many have a few judges in your house? Mm-hmm. Okay. And those judges are thinking that they're doing God's work. And they may be. You understand? They may very likely be. Because you need to get free. Okay? Verse 4, my conscience is clear, but that does not make me innocent. It is the Lord who judges me. Therefore, judge nothing before the appointed time. Whoa. How many know that in the heat of the battle, you can't see straight?
Amen.
In the middle of an argument, you're not going to be yourself. You're going to be responding out of your flesh. The beast in you usually rises up, and then you end up making a fool out of yourself. And then this verse 5 is the one that I want you to concentrate on. Judge nothing before the appointed time. Wait till the Lord comes. He will bring to light what is hidden in darkness. Now I want you to put a circle around he, and you should put a circle around the word light. What is hidden in darkness and will expose the motive of men's hearts. Will expose the motives of yours and my heart. See, it's a combination of things. And I said, Lord, I want to get away from this because I thought we talked about this enough last week and the week before. But I guess we didn't do it right because he brought me back this morning and he says, that's the verse. Judge nothing before the appointed time. Does that mean judge no one? What's the Amplified say, Gail?
So do not make any hasty or premature judgments before the time when the Lord comes. For he will both bring to light the secret things that are now hidden in darkness and disclose and expose the secret aims, motives, and purposes of hearts. Then every man will receive his due commendation from God.
So who are you relying on? See, the more you rely on your own abilities and your own discernment, you're going to get caught. You've got to have the spotlight of the Lord on the difficulty. And once you have the spotlight of the Lord on that wrinkle, which is one of the ways you can look at it, or that spot in your garment, which, again, another aspect of looking at this. But by all means, St. Paul is making it so clear. Wait. For the appointed time. I believe that when you and I go to the Lord with a weakness, and we say to the Lord, okay, I've got the accuser on my case, I'm losing this war, would you please expose the motives? Would you please show me what's underneath that I can't see? Put the spotlight in the midst of the darkness so that I don't fail this thing again, because I want to go forward. Okay? So, when you humble yourself and you say to the Lord, I can't do it, he's going to come to your help, and he's going to rescue you in the midst of it. James chapter 4 simply says, God is against the proud. So if you think you can do this on your own, he'll let you struggle for the next 10 years if you want it. Okay? not this past week, but the week before when we had the intercession going on a Tuesday, and we began to repent. And I knew that the Lord was delivering people. Okay? I didn't say too much. I just released it and let God be God. Well, that opens up a door. Now, deliverance is not just, you know, casting out of a demon. It's sometimes stepping forward over the selfish ways of our own hearts and asking the Lord to take us higher, and He can't when we're proud and we think we've got it all put together. And so when we humbled ourselves as a family and as a group, the Holy Spirit was pouring out grace. That's the first level. He pours out grace. It's almost like that liquid gold that you talked about today. It's just coming into your heart, and now you're being prepared to be able to handle something that maybe you weren't ready to handle before. And as your heart is molded and prepared to go a little deeper, then the anointing comes, and when you are under that anointing, the garbage that you have, let's say, fighting or been fighting with, starts to disintegrate. And as it starts to disintegrate, deliverance will become a process that you'll see. And you'll see eventually you're going to start thinking differently. You're going to start speaking about things that maybe before got you irritated, but now they're more comfortable. You're accepting of those that are around you the way they are, and it's not going to be such a dramatic thing for you. If they make a mistake and accuse you, you're not going to respond to it. And like St. Paul says, I don't care if people judge me. Okay? He's not focused on their opinion or their words of criticalness, if you wish, or not doing it right. So, again, wait till the Lord comes. He will bring to light what is hidden in darkness and will expose the motives of men's hearts. Verse 6 says, brothers, I have applied these things to myself and Apollos for your benefit, so that you may learn from us. So, learning from each other is not something new. Learning, oh my God, Peggy did it this way. That's a little better. And that's what your comments were. This is a little higher. Now, it's not to blame Peggy. It's just God is moving to show us, oh well, I can make a different decision here. And maybe go a little higher. And that was your comment. Now, your comment brings to light something that was not seen before. Amen? So you're learning from each other. The meaning of the saying, do not go beyond what is written. Then you will not take pride in one man over against another. Comparing. Verse 7. For who makes you different from anyone else? What do you have that you did not receive? And if you did receive, why do you boast as though you did not? See, the hidden talents that are in you that start blossoming at different ages, different levels of your walk with God. As I shared before, I used to kind of look at Pastor and I used to say, gee Lord, this is so awesome in him. And now I see those same things coming to life in me. And when I see the same things happening, it gives me a different outlook on the Spirit of God that worked in him. But at the time, I was focused on the person. Get it? At the time. See, again, God is saying, at the appointed time, you're going to be able to see. Well, now I can see the Spirit of God working through him at different stages of my relationship with him. But I'm also seeing the same Holy Spirit developing me. Close your eyes. Put your hand over your heart. Say, Lord Jesus,
Lord Jesus,
if I've been comparing,
if I've been comparing,
it's time to stop.
It's
I'm asking you now.
I'm asking you now.
For the appointed time. And I believe it's today. You're showing me things about me. And the Spirit of God in me. Opening up things about me.
Opening up things about me.
And the hidden darkness. It's got a great big spotlight on it. And it's the same Holy Spirit. That is working in me.
That is working in me.
To build me up.
To build me up.
And to make me obedient. To the callings. And the giftings. That He's prepared. Just for me. So He's got a plan. It's an awesome plan. It's a great plan. And He's revealing pieces of it.
Every single day.
A little more is coming in.
And I take confidence.
And I can boast now.
That Jesus Christ.
Is alive.
More and more.
In me.
Doing an awesome work.
In my family.
In those I work with.
And everywhere I go.
To the glory.
Of Jesus.
Hidden in me.
For greater purposes.
For greater purposes.
To come.
To come.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.